Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we discuss and review your and our favorite comedy films. Now with me, as always, is producer Todd. Chilling, I presume?
I am chilling.
Okay. Now, usually we have Greg that's with us when we appear, but he's debuting a new look. Oh, look at Lemmy. He's got the mutton chops. If you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you definitely got to check into YouTube to check out Greg's sweet new look.
Have you only did it for the movie and the podcast?
I'll take it. So this week we did take it up to 11 by watching This Is Spinal Tap. And we do also have a segment where we've discussed stupid commercials. So at a time, I mean, you hear the term overused. And I'm sorry, I didn't say his name. I don't think he said his name. Greg. Thank you, Greg, for joining us. But when you hear the term, oh, it's the Super Bowl of this or it's the Super Bowl of that. When it comes to commercials, the Super Bowl is the Super Bowl of commercials. I mean, that's where you find usually the best or all the best creative forces try to put out the best commercial during the Super Bowl. I actually did take a log of every single Super Bowl commercial, but the one I wanted to bring the most attention to is the Logitech commercial that came up in the first break, actually. It was the third commercial after the M&M one. And Todd, we're actually going to play this commercial first, and then we'll play the Apple one that debuted last year. And it'll be fun to compare and contrast. So Todd, if you would please do the honors, we'll play them back to back. So we'll have the Logitech, then we'll have the Apple right after. Enjoy.
We stand here in defiance. That's right. We the makers. We the groundbreakers. We the creators. The screamers. And dreamers. We defy expectations, perceptions, and misconceptions. We defy what logic says we should look like, sound like, be like. We defy genres, algorithms, and entire industries. See, we defy that little voice that says, oh no, we can't, with the roar back that says, oh yes, we will. Because to create the future, we must defy the logic of the past. We must defy logic. Call me by
your name. There's a certain kind of person who doesn't take no for an answer. They don't walk in quietly. They parade in. Trailblazing. Eyebrow raising. Status quo breaking. Grazing greatness. Braving hatred. And taking up space. Never got a seat at the table, so they can't sit and behave. They'd rather defy the rules and amaze. There's a certain kind of person who doesn't wait for greatness. They make it.
Okay, now, when I said I was taking a log of all the commercials, and as you saw the Logitech one happen first, I wrote down tech/special/Apple. Because I just thought it was a new version of the Apple commercial, when in actuality, it was for Logitech that was basically the same exact commercial. Yeah, they moved some slight words, but shot and the way it was shot, the vibe of it, it was exactly the same. Am I crazy here, Greg?
No, you're not. As a matter of fact, it kind of gave the feeling of Apple. The place where you'll have celebrities and high-end things. Logitech, the knockoff brand.
Seems so weird, but, you know, for a show brought to you by Pepsi, they're favoring the knockoffs. Todd, what about your thoughts?
You got me with the Pepsi reference. Yeah, it was like, I don't want to say similar. It was damn near plagiarism.
I was the crazy thing. It's like, man, you're playing this during the Super Bowl? What is with you guys? So now, obviously, that wasn't the best commercial. And I had to favor the Fiverr commercial featuring the Four Seasons landscaping that was now being converted into a slash press conference location because of what happened during the election and Rudy Giuliani booking this press conference at the landscaping. So the joke of this Fiverr commercial is that, well, you know, in a moment's notice, you can adjust to whatever your business needs. And especially the lady at the end asking, is this a lobby? And they just respond, not a hotel. Oh, man. I lost it right there. I really did. Greg, how about you? I know before I asked you, pick a favorite and pick like a least favorite.
Yeah. So least favorite was definitely that Alaska Airlines commercial doing the safety dance. I tuned out. It was rough.
Apparently I did as well.
Yeah. You didn't miss much. My favorite one for the night was the Doritos 3D commercial. That was a great
one. Yes.
Yeah. No, it was fantastic. The 2D-ism for a while. He called out his name for the coffee. He was sideways. They couldn't see him. He goes, I'm right here. Turns around.
I appreciated the Kimmel joke where you saw him on Kimmel and he says, did you get here by fax? I lost it right there. What was interesting about that commercial break, though, is that you had the McConaughey Doritos 3D, and then following that, you had the Will Ferrell GM commercial, which was pretty funny, and all things considering. Then you had a ton of Paramount Plus commercials throughout the entire night. It's Paramount Plus, Viacom, they own CBS, so of course you're going to see that. But it mentioned, or rather, it featured Kimmel's character from Cranky Anchors. So I thought this is like the first time that a celebrity has been on two separate commercials during the Super Bowl in the same break. Record breaking statistics.
Props to the Reddit commercial, though.
Yes, that was awesome. They took out, anyone unaware, they took out a 3-second ad that just flashed on the screen. And I had actually located it on YouTube shortly thereafter. And I just want to read what it said because it was such like a maybe inspirational is the right word. I'm not sure. But it reads, if you're reading this, it means our bet paid off. Big game spots are expensive, so we couldn't buy a full one. But we were inspired and decided to spend our entire marketing budget on 5 seconds of airtime. This is for Reddit. One thing we learned from our communities last week is that underdogs can accomplish just about anything when they come together around a common idea. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the reason finance textbooks have to add a chapter on, quote, tendies. Maybe you'll help the subreddit Superb Owl teach the world about the majesty of owls. Maybe you'll even pause this 5-second ad. Powerful things can happen when people rally around something they really care about, and there's a place for that. It's called Reddit. All this was just on the flash of the screen. Like, you could not read that whole thing in 5 seconds, but they knew people would like, if they just had to have the logo, just you see the Reddit logo, you saw this flash, Reddit logo, you knew what to look up. And there, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it.
In this day and age, like, we saw it, we were like, what the hell just happened? We paused and rewound it because you can do that nowadays.
I couldn't do that with the game being on. I had the game going. I had the YouTube here. So that's what I did. But that point as well, anybody maybe DVRing it, watching it later. And if you haven't watched the Super Bowl yet, don't worry. We won't spoil it for you. Now, Greg, what was your least?
I don't think there's a moratorium on live sporting events.
Well, it was more like a joke.
No.
Okay. Anyhow, Greg. You had a least favorite, maybe?
Yeah, it was that Alaska Airlines commercial.
That's right.
So it was the we can dance, but it was a safety dance with wearing your mask and everything. It just, it was not good.
Yes. Now, any ones that you maybe want that I would recommend checking out? The Rocket Mortgage, Tracy Morgan, pretty sure commercial made me laugh. I appreciated that. Both of them. There's two separate ones. But the State Farm had to rear their ugly, nonsensical heads one more, where you saw Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Jake from State Farm sitting in director's chairs. And Aaron turns to Jake and says, "You couldn't find me a better stand-in." And across from Aaron Rodgers, you see the Green Bay Packers super fan who's overweight from the discount double check days. And then Patrick Mahomes says, "Yeah, look at my stand-in." And then he shows Paul Rudd. And the story that they've set up in the commercial is that Jake doesn't know how to book stand-ins. And why the fuck do they have stand-ins to begin with? For what? Especially Rodgers, because he wasn't doing shit today. I mean... We're recording Sunday, just FYI. Now, that's just my frustration with State Farm. Now, the last thing I will say about these Super Bowl commercials, the first one we got was a trailer for the new M. Night Shyamalan film, Old, which it immediately made me laugh within the first 5 seconds because, oh my gosh, there's people that are getting impregnated and then there's people getting sick. And it's just that saying, okay, all right. And I was just like kind of chuckling to myself. And then at the end, it says this summer only in theaters. And that's when I lost it. Cause like in a pandemic, you're telling people go watch this movie about people getting sick in the theater when there's a pandemic going on. Oh my God. So that's all I had to say about the Super Bowl commercials. I know Todd, you weren't there, but Greg, anything else you want to add before we move on to Spinal Tap?
Yeah, with the Tracy Morgan commercials, I was like, sure it's not too soon to be in commercials about cars getting in accidents, buddy. It just felt a little awkward. But I do also, I want to give an honorable mention to was it the Sam Adams commercial. I think it was actually before the game started, in which... You see the typical Budweiser horses, and there's like this majestic music playing, and they go to unpin the thing that secures them to the coach. And then you just see the horses start to run free, and you're like, oh, this is beautiful. But then they like wreak havoc on the town. It's just chaos. And the guys are like, oh, I didn't mean that to happen. That was wicked bad. And they got their Sam Adams. So I thought that was a fun one, but definitely an honorable mention.
Absolutely. Fun ones to check out. But again, man, State Farm, way to make me angry. I think State Farm is like my new, like Greg, do you know anybody at State Farm? Like, are you related to anybody at State Farm? Like, hey, can you just, because.
No, yeah. I think they're Broncos fans though. So. I'm sorry, Ozzy.
Stuff your sorries in a sack. Anyhow, this week we did take it up to 11 by reviewing This Is Spinal Tap, this feature film, which is the directorial debut of Rob Reiner in the 1984 rockumentary, first of its kind, an hour and 25 minutes. Holy Toledo. I'm going to read the back of this special edition Spinal Tap DVD, which I highly recommend you can get on Amazon. I'll be honest, there's a Blu-ray version, but for some reason you can't see what's on the back of it. There is a Region 2 Blu-ray, but don't fall into that trap because you won't be able to play it in this country. Am I right on that, Todd? You're usually the one that comes in at this point where you're like, actually, if you do this and this, you could really use
it. I mean, if you have a region-free player, you can. But...
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't want to give people a false sense of security of, you know, directing them to a Region 2. Well, Ozzy said this is going to work.
So. Well... Just for the record, the Blu-ray ports over the special features. So
good, because these special features are fantastic. Now, synopsis reads, whether or not you're a diehard fan of the group, you'll love this detailed, quote, rockumentary of England's legendary Spinal Tap. Acclaimed commercial director Marty Jaberge takes you behind the scenes for an intimate look at a band whose time has come and gone and come again, and through interviews, rare footage, and lots of music, including classic tap tunes like Big Bottom and Hellhole. You'll get acquainted with David St. Hubbins, playing lead guitar, Nigel Tufnell, also lead guitar, Derek Smalls, lead bass, and every drummer who ever lived and died for this renowned rock band. Be a part of the sights, sound, and smells of this celebrated heavy metal phenomenon. It is an experience you'll never forget. And that is 100% true. Initial thoughts, I will say that it did start kind of slow-ish, because this being, and I mentioned the synopsis reads director is Marty DeBerge, but the way they, if you're not familiar, this film is purely based on separate characters rather than focus on specific lines in the script. Everybody here had their own separate character and just ran with it. And it was almost like magic to see some of this, because I think I should say that as initial thoughts. Everybody, I mean, this was more such like a focus on character and backstory that it was just fun to see everybody interact and react to everyone and everything. Greg?
Fun movie for sure. Kind of nostalgic for myself. It was the first movie I actually watched with my wife when I one of our first dates. So it was nice to go back and watch with her. Great movie. Lots of fun. I am very curious if they mention in that in the specials how much of that was improv'd, because it does look like a lot of fun.
The reason I'm laughing is because when you talk about, I wonder what it says in any of the specials of how much improv was in it. Every single special feature still treats this as a rockumentary. There's no making of This Is Spinal Tap, and you have Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer talking about their characters. No, if you see anything on this DVD, it's them as David, Nigel, and Derek Smalls. And they have rare out. I'm sorry, I don't want to ignore Todd before I get into all this, because it's a lot of stuff that's in this DVD that I wanted to share. Todd, initial thoughts.
Well, I have not seen this since 1992 when The Return of Spinal Tap came out.
Wow.
And there's a reason why I haven't revisited it. It still doesn't, I don't love it. I chuckled a few times, and that might have to do with the genre of music. I've never been into that really. So I get some of the jokes and I snicker, but I'm going to be the turd in the punch bowl on this.
You totally are the turd in the punch bowl on this.
I'm glad you guys love it though.
Well, yeah, going into the rare outtakes, like they call them rare outtakes on the special features, but in actuality, it's just deleted content. And you can't tell it's an outtake because nobody breaks. You don't hear cut because somebody's laughing. It's just stuff that they didn't use in the actual film. Like, for example, one particular scene has Derek Smalls going through a metal detector, and they keep waving the wand around his crotch because it keeps reacting. And then he ends up pulling a zucchini that's been wrapped in aluminum foil on the table and frustrated, like, all right, here you go, while the other band members are laughing. One of the deleted scenes shows a stagehand wrapping a zucchini in the aluminum foil. So it really, like, you could have had like a 4-hour masterpiece. Like, all these scenes could have just been fit in, but you can obviously tell, okay, you know, this was Rob Reiner's directorial debut. He couldn't put a movie out longer than 90 minutes, especially comedy. So one of my favorite lines involves Stonehenge. And this being a rockumentary, it doesn't really feel like, oh, spoiler, because this movie treats everything as fact. So it's still great to watch, to see the people's reaction, to see everybody's reactions. And so they're supposed to have an 18-foot structure of Stonehenge on the stage, and they were going to have dwarves dance around it, and it was going to be a song about the Stone Age, or the song is Stonehenge, actually. But the napkin that this Stonehenge was drawn on had said 18 inches. So it was a small Stonehenge set that the dwarves almost knocked over. And then the aftermath of this whole thing, you have David St. Hubbin saying, I think the problem may have been that there was a Stonehenge monument on the stage that was in danger of being crushed by a dwarf. And it doesn't stop there, because the manager says, you know what? I think you're making a big thing out of everything. That's when just off camera you hear, well, I think making a big thing about it would have been a good idea. What's so great about that is I was laughing so hard at Mike McKean's delivery of that line that I missed the whole, well, making a big deal out of it would have been a good idea. I missed that, but because I went back to write that line down word for word, I heard that second part and I hurt from laughing in that scene and that line. Holy cow. And for what it's worth, in the opening, when you stick in the DVD and it goes to the menu, it just is black. And then you hear the voices of the three Spinal Tap members comment how they're black. And then the logo comes in, but it goes in too far. So the logo is really small on the DVD menu. And they even end it with, well, if they made a big deal about it, would have been a good idea. Referencing that line. It's about like a minute worth of just back and forth between the band members on the DVD commentary or the DVD menu saying, well, that's play, that's special features because, you know, we're special and they probably have my information on it. Like, just ridiculous, fun stuff. Greg, a favorite line or scene?
Look, one of them was definitely that Stonehenge scene. And I just have to add, it wasn't even the lines afterwards. It was when it drops on the stage and the guitarist look that he has of, are you fucking kidding me? Like, he just didn't even have to say anything and it was brilliant. But yeah, one of my favorite spots in this whole film was which is part the inspiration of doing this stupid mutton chop thing, was when the guy gets trapped in that little pod and can't get out. And he tries so damn hard. And finally, just like a good cartoon, he gets out at the last moment when everyone's gone back in, and he reaches in, puts his arm in, gets trapped in that, and then just poses like, yes! I died.
I'm in tears. I'm in tears just thinking about it. Todd? Despite your hatred towards this movie.
I don't hate it. It's just, I don't find it as humorous as you guys.
Can you find, or can you provide
the one line that stuck out to me, which I don't know why it made me laugh though. It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yes.
When they're talking about the album cover and the other guy, why it was okay.
Yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, that's when I'm wearing a solid black shirt to pay homage to the album cover of Smell the Glove. Some interesting cameos in this movie. You had Billy Crystal and Dana Carvey towards the beginning of the film as mimes. They were mime waiters. Dana Carvey was working for Billy Crystal. And what's great is in the film, you had each guy had one line. And, you know, Crystal's line, as he sends him out, he says, remember, mime is money. And just, that line just made me laugh, right? So when I went to go look at the outtakes, there's actually a scene where Marty is talking to Billy Crystal and he's talking about the history of how he decided to make a mime catering company and goes into this backstory about how his dad used to cook and do all this and how he used to be an actor. And I was just so blown away because it's like, man, he's nobody in this movie. Like, he's just a waiter, but he took the time to come up with all this stuff and just, this back and forth was just funny to watch the whole thing. I think I had an actual line of his written down, but this was in the outtakes afterward. The limo driver there's a scene where the limo driver, they're talking about Dean Martin, or he's talking about Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra. And then they roll up the window on him, right? And he calls them blimeys, whatever. There's a deleted scene where they're in that that party with these waiters, and the limo driver approaches Billy Crystal's character, and Crystal's doing the mime gimmick, right? And limos are like, okay, yeah, I get it, you're a mime, but could you just tell him? And he goes back and forth, just tell him that I'm going to be in the car. And he's like miming to him, like, oh, you car, right? And it's just so, so funny to watch. And then at the very end, the limo driver says, can you do that for me, buddy? And Crystal responds, what do I look like, your fucking servant? And he walks off. Like, man, this is the deleted stuff. Speaking of the limo driver, another deleted scene shows him getting a pizza for the band at 3 a.m. And as he's in the room, they say, hey, we appreciate you getting this pizza. Here, light this one up. And they hand him a joint. And so he takes a few hits from the joint. He's like, you know what? I don't feel anything. The next scene, he's in his underwear singing Sinatra with a pizza crust as a microphone.
Awesome.
And again, like, this is just stuff that I'm sure, like, let's just film like an actual documentary. Let's just be yourselves, be these characters, and we'll just film all around you. And one thing that I'm going to be regularly watching is the commentary on this, because the commentary here is as good as the film itself, because these are, it's not the actors, Christopher Guest, Michael McKean, and Harry Shearer doing commentary. No, it is David, Derek, and Nigel doing commentary. So you see the reactions of all the stuff, like especially when he's talking about the album cover and the album cover to Fran Drescher's character, and she's talking about how it's offensive, and you see them react to all the stuff that you didn't see them previously react to. It adds so much more. It's almost kind of feels like a sequel. I watched the movie by itself one night, and then the next night I watched with the commentary, and it like gave it new life that actually affected my rating of the movie because of the commentary. I don't know if that's actually fair, but I don't care, because I've never been able to see a movie that made me laugh so hard, and then I laughed just as hard in the commentary. Very similar, actually, to when you're familiar with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Todd, what's the title of the episode?
I forget which one. It's Lethal Weapon 5-1.
They're trying to make the Lethal Weapon 5, and this episode is just the movie. It's their Lethal Weapon movie. I don't think it's up on Hulu right now, but if you can find ways to, because, you know, there's certain people who painted themselves certain ways. Anyhow, so you had one episode that was just this movie. It was just Lethal Weapon 5. The next episode after that was commentary, like DVD commentary of that film that they made, but it's them in character. So it just like how that made that episode better, the commentary here makes this movie better. And with the outtakes making it better, and also that this particular DVD came with music videos. You had the majority, it had four music videos total. Give Me Some Money, Flower People, Big Bottom, which were all similar. They came out like at different times. Give Me Some Money was like their sixth or their early 60s. Flower People was their 70s hippie, and Big Bottom was their 80s. And it was filmed traditionally like them on a set, whatever. But the Hellhole video is definitely worth watching. It feels like a total MTV debut 80s video that was so fun to watch. You also had TV spots as well. Commercials and trailers. I know that I shouldn't really be talking like I'm reviewing the DVD, but when going into this movie, it's hard not to talk about it because I had such a good time going over it and essentially seeing this movie multiple times. Again, I said it, the commentary affected the rating, whereas before, as a movie, I was like at a 4, but then as much as I was laughing, like after the first half an hour, it bumped it to 4.5. But then when I saw the commentary, it's like, damn, I cannot give it less than a 5. I would not feel right to myself with the amount of times that I laughed and how hard I laughed. Yeah, watching it regular, watching it with the commentary, whatever. but I can't give it less than a 5. I just couldn't go to sleep at night if I gave anything less with the amount of times that I laughed. So
that's fair. That's definitely fair. So you mentioned your black shirt for the movie.
The album cover turned out to be all black.
Right. So I actually wore my Princess Bride Dread Pirates jersey in honor of Christopher Guest. So, ratings wise, I have a lot of nostalgic connection with this movie, and I do believe that commentary would add a whole lot to it, because I feel like that might be the complete film with that added to it. That being said, Todd, you mentioned that I really enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed parts of this movie. I do feel it is a bit slow at times. It had a few really good laughs, but I maybe the commentary would help me a lot. But outside of nostalgia, I'd probably give this movie a 3.5. It is a lot of fun. It kept me entertained. But it's a little slow at times. And I think that kind of got me.
Well,
here comes Todd's 2.
I don't think it's below average. I think it's average for me, but I think the nostalgia does help a lot of people, like, you know, he mentioned, and I don't have it. I saw it once in 92, and then I watched the horrible, horrible sequel. So don't ever bother with that. But yeah, I think it's worth checking out if you're a comedy fan, because, well, especially Ozzy really loves this one. It didn't do it for me.
I understand that. I really do. And again, if I had just seen the movie by itself, I'd probably reach conclusion that you guys have reached. But I swear I'm not getting paid. Believe me, I'm not. But this movie with that commentary in those slow parts, it's almost like they knew, hey, this is a slow part, so we should like have a conversation about something that happened. And it fills it in so well that it made it perfect for me, at least. So
I'm going to try to watch the commentary and get back to you next week.
Fair enough. And speaking of next week, I know I didn't bring this up. I don't think there's going to be many arguments about what film we'll be reviewing. So surprise live reaction for Greg and Todd. The Steve Martin and Eddie Murphy film Bowfinger. You guys like it?
Those guys aren't funny.
Well, this is what you were talking about with Eddie Murphy.
Of course, no. It sounds fantastic.
I haven't seen it since probably the 90s too, but I did enjoy it. So it'll be fun to rewatch it.
Absolutely. The film directed by Frank Oz, and again, starring Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, will definitely be fun to visit. And again, if you're listening to this audio version, whatever, wherever you enjoy your podcasts, feel free to check out the YouTube version. You can check out Greg's Mutton Chops in honor of Derek Smalls. And also, if you're listening to the YouTube version, you're like, man, I'd really like to hear these guys in the car. You can do that too. You can check out the podcast version wherever you enjoy your podcast. And also, Todd, before we head out, can you tell us what's happening on Flesh Wound Horror or any other Flesh Wound programs that you want to plug this week?
This week, we're having some true crime with Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. It's sequel, and there's another version of it. So we're getting super, super Henry Lee Lucas this week. We have our upcoming Giallo shows. Yes, that's the one. There's always
Giallo shows?
Giallo. We did this last week. Jello.
Oh, did we? And yeah. I said that same joke, didn't I?
Yeah, and I pitched it, and everyone gave it the groan, and then they did warm up to it. Yeah. One person, not so much of a fan, but
yeah, well,
I won't say him.
All right, and if you have a craving or a yearning for some serious law talk, you can actually join me and California lawyer Andre Verdun on Your Law Podcast, which is just audio format right now, where we discuss various laws. Right now, we just opened up on defamation last week, and this week we'll be continuing that with online defamation. So feel free to check that out. We'll be out Wednesday morning. Once again, Your Law Podcast. And one last thing before we go, Greg has had the pleasure of joining, viewing this over the past few weeks. And based on his reactions, based on my reactions that I feel it's worth plugging. You can check out Talkies on Twitch every Saturday at 1 p.m., where you will see me attempt to take down two others in Monopoly. And I know that sounds like, did he just plug him streaming Monopoly with other people? Greg, can you back me up on this?
Yeah, no, it's a lot of fun to be in the comments and the chat and try to harass Ozzy through the whole time. So that's half the fun.
I'm definitely the villain of the stream. You can check that out at the Twitch profile page, Talkies. T-A-L-K-I-E-Z. And once again, it's every Saturday, 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And you'll see me attempt to reclaim my championship that I won yesterday, or rather Saturday. You'll see me defend that this week. Greg and Todd, anything else you want to say before we head out?
You won once, Ozzy.
Hey,
you've lost whatever. More times.
I am champion. Well, hold on. Wait a second. Now, the individual that leads this stream, his name is Michael Porter, and this guy has landed on Park Place multiple times. So out of a fit of rage, I exclaimed, "Park Place Porter prick." But nonetheless, he cheats. He rage quits. I get a victory. I'm going to flaunt it because it means
you were bankrupt when he rage quit. So,
yeah, because he screwed the game, put in some cheat codes, has a contact on the outside that watches the stream and is like, oh, we're going to do this. And I know it sounds crazy, but if you check out the streams right now, because all the videos that we do stay on the profile page, once again, Talkies on Twitch, T-A-L-K-I-E-Z, you could check out these Monopoly feeds and watch how much bullshit that happens on the board. In fact, you could also have a fun game and tally how many times I say, this is fucking bullshit. It'd be pretty fun to find out that total number because it's definitely in the triple digits. But I'm still champion because I won last.
For now.
Still a champion. Greg, Todd, anything else other than that lame commentary that you'd want to provide? Are you guys good?
I'm good.
I'm good.
See you next week.
Absolutely, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, that is Greg, that is Flesh Wound producer Todd, and I'm Ozzy V. See you next week, right here on Flesh Wound Farce.